The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. And when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's the best I can do without the intonation. So there you go. But you know the song, right? You know the song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. The children know the song. Children, you still learn that song, right? Yeah, maybe? Okay. But it's true. God has the whole world in his hands. Every power is at God's disposal. Every authority under heaven and earth is his. He created all things. He holds all things together in his eternal hands. And now, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. He's got the whole world in his hands, and Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. He is the very Son of God. And what does he do with his hands? He uses his divine hands to remove the sandals from scummy, nasty, dirty feet of his disciples, travel-worn feet. And he holds those feet in his hands, in his holy hands, and he washes their feet. God has hands. And this isn't metaphorical language. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has joined human flesh. God has hands and feet and ears and eyes and fingers and lungs and teeth and legs and nostrils and fingernails, all of it. And with these, he descends to take into his hands the feet of sinful men. So I'm sure that you can understand Peter's protest there that night. God, his God, should not be washing his feet. That seems unbecoming of a proper God. Shouldn't God be up there, far removed from his creation, distant from the creatures he has created, especially if and when those creatures have rebelled, sinned? And they have set themselves against his holy will and his commandments. And so the thought goes, God shouldn't become a man. He shouldn't unite himself with sinful human beings. He shouldn't have human flesh and hands. And he definitely shouldn't be using those hands to take up and wash filthy feet, the dirt and grime between the toes of his disciples. "You will never wash my feet," Peter says. And you know what? If you and I were there, we probably would have said the same thing. But then Jesus' words, "If you don't wash, if I don't wash you, if you don't allow this to happen, you have no share with me." These words frustrate Peter's pious pretensions. So Peter relents, but it still makes him a bit uneasy. Washing feet is not what the Christ should be doing. For Peter, for us, this is slave labor. This is the servant's task. If God descends to take upon himself human flesh and then stoops down to the lowest of positions, a foot washing position, then that means all of our preconceived notions about who God is and what we think God should be like are flipped on their head. If that wasn't enough, Jesus asked this, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you. And a new commandment I give to you," he says, "that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus says, "Do as I have done to you." And here is the "as I have done to you." It is taking the lowest of positions, the most servile position, the foot-washing servant position. Seriously? We're supposed to love one another like that? Even washing one another's feet as an example? Gross, right? You know, we can understand the command to love one another to a point. And the creed of our American popular religion is, of course, love is love, right? In other words, love one another any way that you want to, any way that you wish. It's all fine. But Jesus very specifically says, "Love one another as I have loved you," with a foot-washing kind of love, a self-deprecating kind of love. We all know what it means, and we can follow along pretty easily with it. I would like to love others as I wish I would like to be loved, and that's good. But to love others as Jesus loves you, to love selflessly, sacrificially, now that is a tall order. Yet, on the night when he was betrayed, given into the hands of sinful men, Jesus gives this new commandment, a mandate, or in Latin, mandatum, which is most likely where we get the word monde from, mandate, monde, Thursday. A new commandment, a new mandate I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It's simple, right? Do this, Jesus says, do it. Love like this, like I do. Love those who never deserve it. Love those who hate you. Love those who reject you, who are set on your destruction. Wash their feet. Become the lowest of the low. Assume the servant's posture. And how about this? Forgive them. Absolve them of their sins. Give them the forgiveness that they do not deserve and that they could never deserve. Love them like that. And by that, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another like that. New commandment he gives you. Love as he loves. Love incarnationally. Love flesh among flesh. Love sinners among sinners. As those who cannot and never will deserve your love, love them anyway. Love to forgive those who are completely unforgivable. Love with your hands. Love in order to remove the filth and the guilt and the shame of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love in order to call sinners to repentance. Love in order to get the dirt off of your fellow man onto your own hands so that he might be clean. Love, even though your love will never be repaid. Love sacrificially. Love, and don't expect anything in return. Love as I have loved you, Jesus commands. Well, all right then. But who does that? There's not one of us who is righteous. Not one. There's not one of us who loves perfectly as our Lord Jesus Christ loves us and as he commands us to love. And yet, as I have loved you is absolute. Jesus does love perfectly. He doesn't wait for you to love him first and then respond in kind before he will love you. He simply loves. It's who he is. It's what he is. And if foot washing were the extent of Jesus' love, that would be hard enough for us to imitate. But he doesn't just have hands to take up the disciples' feet and wash them. He has the whole world in his hands, and he intends to use those hands and to put those hands nailed to the cross. That is the love he has for you. So, look to Jesus. Or you might say, behold the man who loves. Behold the man who loves those who in a very short while will abandon him and run away for cover to save their own skin. Yet he loves. Behold the man who loves the unlovable, the rebellious, the sinful. Behold the man who loves those who never deserve it. Behold the man who has become God. God who has become a man in order to love his creatures perfectly and completely. Behold the man who loves the world completely and perfectly with his death on the cross. If you want to love like this, like Jesus did, like he commands you to do, and all of his followers to love, you will never do it relying upon your own love, relying upon your own deficient love, your selfish love. If you want to love like this, you must first be loved like this. Well, as I have loved you is here tonight. Here for you on this altar. The very fruits of Christ's sacrificial love for you are right here for you tonight. In his Holy Supper, instituted on that night, the night he was betrayed, for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Behold the man who gave himself in a perfect act of love. Behold the man who on the night he was betrayed took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples as his own body. Behold the man who took the cup and poured his blood into the mouths of his disciples for the forgiveness of their sins. Behold the man veiled in with and under bread and wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, for life and for salvation. in this feast of love, it is the fulfillment of Jesus' command for us to love one another. Here, as you are fed and nourished with the very body and blood of the only one who has ever loved like this, love itself, you are strengthened. You are forgiven. You are strengthened, as we say in the post-communion collect, you are strengthened in faith toward God and in love for, fervent love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Disciples who feed together, partaking of the same loving Lord Jesus, are united in love, Christ's love, and together in love. In order to love like Jesus, behold the man. Behold love itself. At this altar, behold the man. On the paten, behold the man. In the chalice, behold the man. In his supper, behold the man who loves you enough to forgive you freely, fully, completely, totally, week after week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Turn to the reading of Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were put not to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.